Josh, just curious your thoughts going back to Sunday night's game against the Colts. It seemed like Matt Cassel did a lot of good things. From his performance, what would be the one thing you felt he did really well, if you put one thing atop the list?
I thought he really had a good sense of timing as far as the pass rush was concerned, something that we've been working hard on in terms of just trying to feel the right time to either leave the pocket or stay in the pocket. He did a nice job of stepping up a few times, waiting for the route to unfold or develop. Didn't leave the pocket unnecessarily, and then he did make some plays where he did scramble out of the pocket when it was necessary to do so. And I think that's improving every week, and it was something that showed up, on Sunday night.
Josh, when Matt becomes better at that as he has, how much does that help him with the other parts of his game?
Well, I just think it allows him, when you start to get a strong feel for sense of timing and the feel for the rush, it gives you that added extra second to keep your eyes down the field and see the coverage and people that may be coming open a little later in your progression. You have an opportunity to use that full progression and go to the second or third read when you're standing in there comfortably in the pocket. And I just over the last two or three weeks here, it's really started to pay some dividends for him. He hit a number of second or third reads a couple weeks ago, and then that carried over into this game. So I just think it opens up more of the offense and allows him to move past the first or second read if they happen to be covered and get the ball into someone's hands who's open that obviously you may not start with on the particular play, but because you keep the play alive and have good poise in the pocket, you get to get him the ball.
Josh, is there an example from this last game where he did that? Is there one that stood out for you?
Yeah, there was a third down play where he ended up coming to Gaffney on a comeback. Wasn't the first read. There was a little bit of pressure from our right side, and he did a nice job of hanging in there. He just kind of stepped subtly to his left, didn't leave the pocket, didn't pull the ball down to run. Kept the play alive, allowed Jabbar to run his route at the right depth. Jabbar made a good move at the top of the route, got open, and he threw a nice ball in the comeback, and we converted a third down. So that was just one example, and I thought it was an important play, and it was a play that, again, that he's improved and now is capable of making.
I'm curious, the ball over the middle to Welker on, I think it was 3rd and 11 in the fourth quarter, that nearly hit the ref but hit him in stride. Was that his first read on that play?
In the red area? Is one in the red zone where it ended up as 4th and 1?
Yeah.
It ended up 4th and 1? There's it depends on the coverage on plays like that. Sometimes when they drop off and play very soft, as they did on that particular play, then, we try to get it to somebody that has an opportunity to catch and run and try to get the first down with their legs instead of always trying to throw it behind them. So they were playing a little softer on that one, and, he came to West quick. And that referee is always an issue, on some of those underneath-type routes because of where he's standing. And, there's been plays in the past where we've hit him. There's been plays in the past where the receiver crosses behind him and loses sight of the ball, and just so happened that the official got down just in time and West made a nice catch. It takes a lot of concentration to do that because that guy's always going to be standing somewhere in that vicinity, and West kept his eye on the ball, and it was a good throw and catch.
Josh, can you take us back to how the plays with Falk sort of were born? Was that something you did this week, or was it something you've had in for a while?
It's something that, whenever you go into a game and you want to try to take a variety of different runs into a game plan, which we normally do, we ran plenty of draws the other night. We ran plenty of schemes that were very similar. And so that was just an added way for us to run a similar play against a defense that we felt like those plays were good against. So it really wasn't something we've been working on for a long time. It was just something that we felt gave us an added element to the game plan, another thing for another thing for them to defend, and you know, we'll see where it goes. You know, there's no telling, you know, if we'll use it again or not. We may not. Depends on how we feel about it.
I'm sure you guys...
Go ahead.
Hey, John, go for it.
I was just going to say, why do you think teams, I don't, maybe it's my imagination, but certainly Miami has been doing a lot of it with Ronnie Brown, and we saw Flacco catch a pass a couple weeks ago. Why do you think teams are doing more of that kind of thing, splitting their quarterbacks out and letting somebody else handle the ball?
I think it's a, you know, in terms of your preparation, you know, and I would speak offensively from our point of view. Whenever a defense does something that's a little different, you know, you have to make a decision and a choice of how much time to spend on that. It may not be something that they've done very much of, but you still have to make a decision and a choice of how much practice time and how much preparation time you need to spend on that element of their game during the course of the week. And, you know, obviously Miami's running a lot of it, or at least a significant portion of it. And, you know, some of these other teams that are filtering it through, now defenses, you know, we're going to have to decide, all right, how much time do we put towards this, and, you know, are we going to check if they get in it, or are we going to run all of our calls, or are we going to, you know, get out of calls and get into something different? You know, how are we going to defend that if they happen to, you know, to use it against us? So I think it's something that people are doing, and if they don't have any success, I'm sure you're not going to see much of it again, which is probably why you've seen it more and more from Miami, because they seem to be successful with it. So, you know, you run it and you make the other team worry about it during the course of the week, and that's part of coaching and preparation. And it's a pain in the butt sometimes when people do things a very few number of times, but you still have to prepare and spend practice reps on them, and then that's time that you're not spending on something that they may do a lot more. So, you know, there's two sides to the coin, and I think you just, you know, if you can get it to work for you, it's great, and if not, then, you know, at least the other team's got to defend it.
Has Matt been lobbying to catch some balls?
Not really. I think he's a lot more comfortable under center or in the shotgun throwing the ball than he is catching it. So, you know, I think Tommy's I think he may have only caught one ball in his career. So, you know, we're not in a hurry to throw those guys the ball. We'd prefer them throwing it.
Josh, when you look at the red zone, I'm sure, you know, you'd want better production than the 1 of 4. Although one of the trips, you just sort of snuck into the red zone and then were sort of bumped out of there. But when you look at it, what's the common thread there to you, you know, other than simply, you know, making the plays? I mean, is there one aspect that could have improved those numbers in your mind?
Yeah, Mike, we really, on two of those trips, we had a zero-yard run and a negative pass. And that really, anytime you get into a third down and long scenario in the red zone, you're already short field to work with because you don't have a lot of field behind them. And when you get into a situation like, you know, as we already talked about, third and 11 down there at the 18 or, you know, 19-yard line, it's tough to run a lot of patterns past the sticks unless you're going to throw it to the back of the end zone, which, you know, we all know those plays are lower percentage anyway. So I think, you know, in our minds, if we stay ahead on the down and distance, if we get positive plays and get into third and short down there in the red zone, you know, then you got a greater chance to succeed on third down. And on two of those trips, unfortunately, we fell into third and more than 10. And those are, I mean, you only convert third and 10 plus, you know, an entire season, you know, maybe 8-10 times a year. And to try to convert them in the red zone, it makes it even more difficult. So we just got to do a really good job of trying to do what we did the rest of the game, which is avoid negative plays, you know, no penalties, no negative runs, and try to stay ahead on down and distance. And I think we'll see some better numbers down there in the red zone, which obviously we're going to strive towards.
Josh, what was in the fourth quarter where you were setting up for a fourth and one and then Bill called timeout and went for the field goal? What was the dialogue like on the sideline there? Why the switch?
You know, we sent the play in originally, and, you know, down there at the end of the field, you always have it's always a little bit more difficult to tell exactly how much you need. And if they don't measure and you don't really get an indication from the official, how much you actually need for the first down, you know, it's kind of a harder angle from the press box. And obviously, you know, down the sideline, unless we run all the way down there, you know, it's difficult to tell there too. So we sent the play in originally. I think, you know, we were thinking it was much less than a yard, and we're ready to go with our, you know, the best play we felt like we had. And, you know, after we broke the huddle and the ball was spotted, we got a better look at it. And Bill ran down there and decided to call a timeout just to take some more time to, you know, make a smart decision, the best decision we could make at the time. Obviously, it was a crucial play. So, and after it was decided that it was at least a yard, you know, or very close to it, just felt better about kicking the field goal and trying to, you know, play defense and then get the ball back and try to have, you know, success on offense when we got it back, which we'd done most of the game, and we were doing the next time we got it, you know, until we ran into the penalty situation and got into a third and long. So, you know, I mean, it, in hindsight, it's, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, would we have got it? I don't know. You know, but we made a choice. We tied the game up and definitely had a good enough chance to win it after that. So, you know, it was a decision you make and you move on.
When can you ask for a measurement?
You can request a measurement. You can request a measurement, and usually they grant it. I'm not sure of the exact ruling or how close it needs to be or what have you. But as long as it's within reason, I believe that they'll give you a measurement in that situation. You know, and at that time, I think Bill went down there and saw it for himself. And once the ball was spotted and the pile was cleared, you know, we had already had our personnel kind of out there on the field, and we also got a little bit better look at it from the press box. So. You know, you can request it, but I'm not exactly sure, you know, as far as the rule is concerned, how close it needs to be in order for them to grant it.
On those kind of plays, you've often run, and it looked like you were running it when the ball was snapped, the QB sneak, and Tom obviously was fantastic at those. What is it about a quarterback? What kind of skills do you have to have to squeeze out those, you know, yard and a half or whatever it takes on those fourth and shorts?
Yeah, you have to have, I think, really and truly... And Tommy, as you mentioned, was really successful at it, and Matt's had some success this year doing it as well. I think you have to have a really good feel for where to go, because you don't have long to make a decision. You know, and we kind of know where we want to go, and once the ball snapped, you got to kind of burrow yourself in there, and you can't go down to the ground. You know, you got to actually kind of push, you know, that soft spot wherever it may be, if it's to the right of the center or to the left of the center. And really try to push in there and keep your legs moving and driving. And we got tall guys at quarterback that have long legs, and they got to continue to do that. And Tom was very good at it. Matt's getting better every week when we use it. You know, he's doing a good job of finding that soft spot and actually, you know, making the yard or yard and a half that he needs to get in order to get the first down. So I think it's more of a feel thing. Once you know which direction you're headed in, you got to try to stay upright and really, you know, get in there behind the center and the guard and try to push out a yard.
Josh, just to wrap it up, the long passing game, there was, just watching the game over again, John Madden was talking quite a bit on just the idea of opening it up, and I was just hoping you could go back to what the Colts were doing or how they stress an offense that would, you know, why that might be possible or what you'd have to give up to do that, and maybe just some of your thinking as the play caller as to maybe why the ball wasn't going down the field more in that game.
I think the Colts, you know, and just talking about them specifically, you know, the first thing you gotta understand or take into consideration when you're trying to get the ball down the field against any team is how much time you need to throw it. And the Colts obviously have a significant pass rush, very good pass rushers. And so you have to make a determination whether that's a big part of your game plan or not. And the way that they play, they're a zone team. They got a lot of defensive backs and linebackers looking at the quarterback on most snaps. They're very rarely in man coverage. And so when you got a lot of people back deep trying to make you throw it in front of them, and they're looking at the quarterback and trying to read where the ball is going to be thrown, and then they're all trying to, you know, get to the ball at the same time, that's sometimes a little bit more difficult. They were rolling the coverage to Randy most of the night, putting a corner up near him, putting a safety up high behind him. You know, and in past years against the Colts, you know, you gotta really pick your spots. And, you know, we hit one last year on them to Randy in the game in 07. but had two others that we were trying to force down the field picked off. You know, and in 06 it was very similar. We tried to throw the ball down the field a few times and didn't have very good success doing it either. So, you know, it's a combination of the pass rush, how much time you need to hold it to throw the ball down there, what they're playing to try to take a certain player away, and, you know, and how much success you think you're really going to have throwing it when there's people that are always significantly in the deep part of the field. So, you know, we had a shot, you know, later in the game where we put Randy in the slot and the safety happened to overplay inside and had a chance to hit Gaff up the sideline, and it just didn't work out. But, you know, in every game is different. You know, you gotta gauge how much time you have to protect, you know, what openings they give you based on the coverages that they play, and how smart it is really to take those risks and those chances in the type of game that it may be.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, everyone.
You got it.
Thank you,
guys.
We'll see you guys
tomorrow.
Thank
you.